you know, I haven't been able to do Q&A like I regularly do just because the moment, the things that are happening, but there's this one question that I keep getting, and I'm gonna try to do at least one question around 2 or 4 o'clock Eastern time and put it here on Instagram to these kind of practical issues that we're all facing. So feel free to send me questions. But this question really struck me because it came from what I consider this moment's sheroes and heroes. I keep getting a question about if someone is a healthcare provider, whether a physician, whether a nurse, or even staff in the ICUs across the country, in the emergency rooms, and they are performing essential tasks which are preserving and improving people's lives and health, is it allowed for them to join prayers? Now I want you to step back with me for a minute and imagine the greatness of the Muslim community. We always hear how bad we are, how, you know, everything's going to the worst, but what kind of people who have spent, say, their entire day under extremely stressful situations, taxing situations, like my man Dr. Saqib in New York, like my friend Dr. Qadir in DC, like our uncle Basharat Ali, who died, subhanAllah, who dies inshallah and is accepted as a shaheed, who was a doctor who immediately jumped in to serving people with this virus, himself was impacted as an elderly man and passed away, rahimahullah. These people are still worried about praying. Allahu Akbar, mashallah. So remember that there's great examples out there, and that the Muslim community is one known historically for its resilience, its intelligence, and its nuance. Now to the question, and before I answer it, I just want to remind you guys of a major principle in Sharia that says, "Ash-Shari'atu Salihatu li kulli zaman wa makan wa ahwal wa ashkhas." And this is also important for people answering questions to remember. And we were taught this when we trained in Dar al-Ifta in Egypt, and that is that the Sharia is beneficial for every time, place, community, and situation, and individual, subhanAllah. That's why Sheikh Muhammad Khadr Hussein, the great Azhari scholar who lived a long, long time ago, wrote an entire essay on this. It's incredible. It's an incredible read. And I say that because sometimes maybe we answer questions and the goal is not to help the people, but is to preserve an opinion or to strengthen a certain school or educational or legal philosophy we attend to. That's a disaster. You know, I studied with Sheikh Ahmed Tahariyan for 6 years. It was a great 6 years. The Muwatta, Nail al-Awtar, the Khalil, Riyad Salihin, parts of Bukhari. And that Sheikh, one day I was sitting in his home, underneath his home, in his Zawiya. And I said to him, "I'm from America. How should I answer questions to people in America? Lian ufti bi madhhab Maliki? Should I just give the opinions of the Maliki school?" And he said, "That country doesn't have a madhhab, first of all." Then I said, "Then how do I answer?" And he said, "Answer with taysir. Answer what facilitates for people and keeps them close to the haqq." Something I'll never forget, mashallah. So our job is not to preserve our school or our educational philosophy or our sheikh or our group. If we're serving the people, we gotta serve the people. And that's why Sufyan al-Thawri said that, you know, the true job of scholar is to facilitate things for people. Not anyone can make things difficult for people. And for those who are answering questions without training, we need to be also very careful, because Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said, "Man amina bila ilmin yusidu akthar mimma yuslih." You know, who tries to act without knowledge does more damage than good. Now to the answer. Our job is to serve you, to be here for you, to facilitate for you and keep you close to the haqq, and to remind you that the Muslim ummah is mahfuza marhuma. As the Prophet said, you are a protected and loved community, a mercy community. And that is, when we look at all the mathahib, we find that Sadat al-Hanabila, based on the hadith of Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, as found in the Sunnah of Imam al-Tirmidhi and other books, they said that there are 8 reasons where a person could join prayers. The Maliki say 6, the other madhabs have a lower number, and many people don't realize, and I heard this actually from Sheikh Ahmed Tahariyan too, the easiest, most beautiful madhab as far as rukhas, as far as dispensation, is the Hanbali madhab. And for a great resource on that, you know, you can find lots of people online, mashallah, teaching it. But in that situation, there are 8 times where a person could potentially join prayers. Before we talk about this, remind ourselves that prayers are fard الصلاة على وقتها, the hadith says, pray on its time. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Allah says, He has prescribed the prayers in specific times for us. الْعَهْدْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمَ الصَّلَاةَ فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. You know, the agreement between us, the covenant between us and them is prayer. Whoever leaves it has committed an act of disbelief. صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this is by no means like something easy or haphazard, but this is something where we take into the consideration life. Imam Ibn Rushd as well as Imam Ibn Taymiyyah said that hifz nafs, that preserving life, comes before even preserving the deen in most situations, because if people aren't alive, there's no one left to preserve the deen, subhanAllah. Very, very interesting position, mashallah. So that being said, the Hanabila recognize 8 instances where a person could join prayers, meaning that if you're a physician or on the front lines in these situations and you are essential to someone's life and health, systematically or specifically, then you could join Dhuhr and Asr, you could join Maghrib and Isha. Of course, if there's a situation where you can't join them, then you would join them as soon as you could, without shortening them. Now, what is that one important point that the Hanabila make, is that if a person has udhr or shughl, right? If someone is caught up in work, like we're talking about now, essential work, or someone has a legitimate excuse that keeps them, for whatever reason, from being able to observe their prayers in a proper time, then they're allowed to do so. I heard from my teacher, mashallah, that one of those groups of people are physicians, nurses, and essential staff that are working to keep people alive. You guys are heroes and sheroes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, and we have your back as a community. I see today in New York City people raising money to support you. I see people in DC doing the same thing. May Allah bless you, and remember that the Sharia is vast and wide. It's a beautiful thing, and it's not just about preserving an opinion. It's about keeping people close to the truth in a way that yuridu Allahu bikum wa yusr, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitates for them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us. Go ahead and feel free to text me here on Instagram, DM me, like practical questions. If they're questions that I know have already been answered all over the internet, or the kind of typical controversial questions, I'm not going to answer those. I want to stay on things that are waqi'iyah, that are current to the current situation. May Allah bless us all with a cure for this virus. Those of you who are sick, we pray for you and remind you that you are being forgiven every second of the day of your sins. Those of you that lost family members, inshallah, they are shaheeds. And those of us who are struggling with anxiety and difficulty in facing this challenge, that in itself, as the Prophet said, even the hum, even something that causes anxiety to the believer, is a means of reward. Barakallahu feekum. Be blessed. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.